singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. And you have been so, so good. Searches for me, God, and there's nothing that can separate me from you. Lord, there's no shadow that's too dark, no shadow of anxiety, Lord, of depression that's too dark for you to light up on your search for me. Lord, there's no mountain of anxiety, no pressure. Lord, there's no chain that's too strong binding us with addiction. There's no chain too strong for your love. God, you search relentlessly for my heart. I thank you. Shadow, you won't light up. Mountain, you won't climb up. Coming after me. No wall, you won't kick down. Lie, you won't tear down. Coming after me. No wall, you won't light up. Mountain, you won't climb up. Coming after me. No wall, you won't kick down. Lie, you won't tear down. Yeah.
to the next, from the back to the front, and begin to magnify God, if you would. I think that's the only appropriate response to that kind of love, to that kind of pursuit, the kind of insistence that God has. We know it's true. Begin to praise Him then. Begin to thank God. For He's not an inconsistent God, but He's persistent. He's stubborn. Hallelujah. If he was going to fail you now, He'd have failed a long time ago. But you ought to look back and see all that God did to get you here. And know that if He was there then, He's here now. Hallelujah. Thank God for it tonight. Give Him a good shout and begin to praise Him with a shout of victory and triumph. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Just turn around and just welcome about three people and just tell them God is here tonight. God is here tonight. Ushers, come if you would. We'll worship the Lord in our giving tonight. Ushers, come quickly. We're going to give unto God. Thank you so much for joining us and being a part of our evening service. Hi, Jesus. It's so good to be with you in worship on a Sunday night. And let's welcome everybody that's joining us online. Sunday night, we got a great crowd of people that join us online. Just be kind of watching over these next weeks. I've been talking about it, but we've got some tremendous updates and changes that we're going to be doing with our live experience. And so I want you to just stay tuned, and I think that's going to be a real blessing. Help us do an even better job communicating to you the best we can what God is doing here. Now, of course, it's never going to be the same there, but until you can get here, just keep watching, and we thank God for you. Let's get our offering in hand, and let's worship the Lord in our giving tonight. Thank you, Father, for so much of your faithfulness and your provision to us. You promised seed for sowers, and so every sower tonight has something to give. We pray, Lord, tonight that you'll just continue to guide our decisions. God, we're sowing in a cloud. We're investing in a cloud. And at due season, God, it's going to break forth with like kind. We just thank you, for our future is already ordained by you. We walk by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. And amen. God bless you as you give tonight. Choir, after you've given the largest part of the offering tonight, then why don't you come and join me on the platform and continue to lead us in our worship tonight. I see several folks here tonight that, now every Sunday we have visitors. Every Sunday we see new people. But not as many on Sunday night as in the morning, obviously. But I see a lot of people here I've never seen before. Would you do me a huge favor? Before the night's over, take that Connect card that's in front of you. It's that gray card. And fill that out. Drop it off at the office on your way by. I should have told you before you gave in the offering tonight. But we want to make sure that we can connect with you and let you know that we're grateful you're here. Let's give God thanks for three souls that came to Jesus this morning. Would you join me in that? Those are three souls, three people that matter, and it was so good to just minister to them and pray with them. Thank you for your patience in every service that we have to give that altar call, and we believe that God is responding. God is doing some great things around here. I want to stop and say a great welcome to David. And I don't see Lily over there. Maybe she's out with one of the kids, but I want David to stand. David, do you have any family with you? It's just you. A single missionary. No, he's not a single missionary. But we love you, David. You guys were here this morning, and we're going to be hearing from them next week, and we're excited about that. But make sure you get to say hello to David, and next week you'll see Lily and the kids as well. So we're so glad that you're here with us. We support their ministry in Mexico. We're excited to hear what God is doing there. All right, let's worship with the choir tonight as they minister in song.
You guys had a chance to sit down for a few minutes. Why don't you stand right back up to your feet and worship with us with this song? He's kind of hard to sit through this song, so stand up and get ready.
Scripture said,
Scripture said,
Scripture said, Oh,
praise. If you're watching online, lift up your voice. There's power in praise. Magnify the Lord. You know, when we talk about the river, we're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, as an evidence of the baptism, they will speak with other tongues. Now, it makes sense that we would have a heavenly language because we're a brand new creation. I'm not what I used to be. And just to prove that I'm not what I used to be, here's an evidence. I speak in a language of a different species. I'm a new man. How many of you are new people in Jesus Christ? You're a different person. So I'm going to ask you to just begin to thank God right now. And as the Spirit gives utterance, nobody's nervous but the devil. Just begin to pray and ask God to have His way tonight. Just begin to pray, Lord, have your way. This is the house of prayer. It should not be unusual, Lord, that people pray in your house. People worship in your house. People get delivered, healed, set free, ministered to, encouraged, saved in your house. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Vinny, would you take that oil? I want you to go anoint Sky. I want a few men over there to just lay hands on him. I feel the Holy Spirit. Just keep playing that. I feel the Holy Spirit here tonight to minister. Pastor John Wesley is going to preach in just a few moments. But I want to just stretch your hand over this way and believe that God can take that tumor and take care of it. If you weren't here this morning, they say there's a tumor there in that stomach. But tumors are not bigger than Jesus, not even close. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord, you'll touch Sky. We thank you that that tumor has no cancer in it, and we think that tumor will waste away. Hallelujah. And that you'll touch his body. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, you promised would quicken our bodies, and we would be well, and we would be whole. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for every person in this place. They can receive a healing touch. Backs, bodies, muscles, nerves, blood condition, sugar condition, all healed in the name of Jesus Christ. If you need a touch in your body, just lift a hand toward heaven and say, Lord, I receive what you've already paid for. I receive already what you've paid for. By his stripes, the Bible says, the children of God receive healing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You don't have to have mountains of faith. The Bible says if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, that you can see great results to that faith. Amen? Amen. 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 Now, Lord, I pray that you'll minister tonight. Thank you for sending us a wonderful brother, a man of God. Somebody, Lord, that you've spoken to speak to us. Our hearts are open. We're ready to receive, Lord, what you would say to us tonight. We value the word. We value what you say to us. We believe that when we hear from you, it changes everything in our lives. And we give you thanks and honor for it. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Let's let the choir know we love them tonight as they make their way back to their seats. And while you're standing, I'm going to ask you to welcome a very good friend of mine, a friend of this church, and some of you were here years ago when Evangelist Benny Jones would come our way. Well, he had a son, and has several children, but one of those is with us tonight, John Wesley Jones from Grace Point Church in Louisiana. How many of you have been to Louisiana? Has anybody been to Louisiana? More have not than have. But Monroe, Louisiana, you're familiar with the Duck Dynasty family. They're like royalty down there. And royalty in many parts here, but that's the same city that, I got my first tour of the store and all. I ate some donuts, the same place that Cy ate his donuts. I ate my donuts, ate at Willie's Cafe, just did the whole Duck Dynasty, strange kind of late night talk show tour of a strange, but a really neat place. It smelled like Lincoln. So, well, like Lincoln used to smell. So, but anyways, wonderful church, a minister. Blessed us at the school Friday night, did he not? At chapel Friday night, really blessed us. I've had a couple privileges to be there to minister to their church, a wonderful, mighty, powerful church. And so we're excited to hear from God. Are you ready to hear a word from the Lord that will bless your life, help you, strengthen you? Would you please welcome to this platform, Pastor John Wesley Jones.
Come on, somebody. We can lift up a praise higher than that. Not for me. Come on, let's lift up the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If he's done nothing for you, stay quiet. But if he's redeemed you, you ought to throw up holy hands and say, thank you, God. If he's brought you out of addiction, you ought to just give him a wave offering like this and say, thank you, Lord. We glorify your holy name. Come on, somebody lift him up for about 10 more seconds. Come on, glorify his name. Lord, we thank you, Father, for you're a good, good God. Hallelujah. My. Hey, come on. I think the worship team should have just kept on and I didn't have to preach. Come on now. You could be seated. My goodness gracious. What a worship team. How blessed are you guys? Can we let them know one more time how awesome they are? I'm telling you what. Woo. Well, I had something for you guys, but Pastor wouldn't let me show you. I made some art for Pastor, but he didn't appreciate the gift. And so he made a gift for me at our church. And he came and he put my face and made my head look larger than it was. And he put my face on a Roy Rogers body with a cowboy hat and had me smiling, looking all goofy with a flowery shirt on with the thing. And he said, don't he look like Roy Rogers? Don't he? And everybody. So that picture, Pastor, thank you so much. It goes around quite often and I get tagged continually on Facebook and I just love that picture and I appreciate you for that. So I made him one. I took the Christmas story. Anybody ever seen the Christmas story? And so all I did, I just had to move the face up and leave everything else the same. And he didn't appreciate it, and he wouldn't let me show it. I don't think it's fair, but hey, it's all right. I thought it was good. I tell you what, after church, I have it on my phone. If you want to see it, just come out. Okay, where are the students at? Where are all the students? Let me see, wave at me like this. Hey, come on, in the house representing. We got to go to chapel Friday night, and we had a time. I saw two of them doing the stanky leg. I was like, what in the world? They were having a time. But I talked to Dr. Bell, and I know finals are this week. And here's what he told me, and I'm lying, but here's what in my mind he told me. He told me that your grade is going to be greatly affected if you don't help me preach tonight. Or it's going to be greatly affected if you help me preach tonight. It's wonderful to be here. I'm telling you what, it's good to be here, this great church. What great pastors you have. Honest to goodness, come on. Let them know you love them. Man, the stuff they've been through with this family lately, I plead the blood of Jesus upon them. And everything the devil meant for their bad, God's going to turn it for their good. I believe that with all of my heart. And it's great to be here back in Maine. I've been practicing on speaking a better Maine language, working on the accent. And I learned that I could burn rubber, you know, that I've learned that. And I learned a few more, park the car. I'm working on it and dropping my R's. I couldn't figure out how to say garage, and so I just left it alone. I was at the hotel, and as I'm standing there, the lady, she says, I'm disappointed in you. I said, oh? She said, I heard you were from the South. You don't have much of an accent. And so I said, I'm sorry, ma'am. I'll try to work better on that, and I'll come back tomorrow night, and I'll have a good accent. I never heard that before, that she was disappointed in me, but I'm honored to be here. I don't have a sermon tonight. I have a word from God. I know for this church, for your pastor, for the leadership, for every person that's here tonight, I have a word for you. I know, I've never known like I know tonight that this word is for this church at this moment. Somebody say, it's my moment. Come on, somebody say, it's my moment. If you have your Bible, turn to Joshua chapter 5, and when you get there, say, I'm there. And if you need just a minute, I could wait. But Joshua chapter 5, maybe at about verse number 13. I will definitely be like a mini skirt tonight. What? I won't be long. I won't cover much material, but I'll keep your attention. Right? Better than the mosquito. Joshua. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man. Somebody say a man. Over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went up to him and said to him, art thou for us or art thou for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as a captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. And he said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did. Joshua 6:1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. Wouldn't it be something for the church, for a Joshua generation to arise, that we could so close off the enemy's city and the enemy's camp that none would come out and none would go in? Watch it. Said they were straitly shut up because of God's people. I think we can do that again. I'm telling you, I believe that. Ah, help me, Lord Jesus. I feel the Holy Spirit. They were straitly shut up, none came out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king and the mighty men of valor. I've got a prophetic word. Heavenly Father, anoint me to speak this word tonight. God, I want your words, not my words. God, let me, as Pastor talked in the office, let me go to the edge of the anointing and just stay under your covering, Father. Let your glory come in this house tonight. Devil, I bind every demon, every imp from hell that would try to hinder. I take authority over every spirit that has tried to raise its head up over this place. I declare complete and plead the blood of Jesus over Pastor and his wife and the family. I declare that what the enemy has meant for bad, God, you are turning it, and they've stepped into a season, Father, that your glory is going to go before them, behind them, on either side. I declare rest. I prophesy now by the word of God, and I speak peace. And I declare, enemy, you are defeated by the word of God, and every happenstance, every incident is covered by the blood. And I thank you that this season is a new season now, Father. Now, Lord, help me preach this word tonight in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Whew, I feel the Holy Spirit. Pastor, I submit myself to you. Thank you for opening your pulpit and trusting me. That's a great deal to trust me. You know, telling what I'm going to say. But I came tonight, and I've been excited. I was up last night. I went up where was I? Washburn, Maine. And they made me drink a Maine product that's made here. And they had me. Anybody know what it is? What in the world? How many like Moxie? Raise your hand. How many do not like Moxie? Raise your hand. I'm not sure whose side I'm on. I'm standing at the gate, but I don't know, because I don't know if those that be for me or those that are against me. But man, they made me drink that stuff. And I could have sworn that my throat began to close up. My elbow started hurting. I couldn't sleep till 3:45 this morning. I'm telling you, I was all drawn up. And they said, oh, sure, you like Moxie. Drink it down. It's got to be cold. It's got to be cold Moxie. And so I'm drinking. I said, it's not getting any better. I don't like this stuff. So I drank it anyway because of peer pressure. I was looking, Pastor, for a worm in the bottom of the glass, but it wasn't there. I was like, yeah. But as I was up because of the Moxie, that's what I'll blame it on. As I was awakened last night, I began to write, and God began to speak to me and gave me a word for this church, and parts of the things that I'm going to share tonight that I've never shared anywhere, but God just gave me this word for this church. But as we're reading in our text, God spoke, and he said, as I was reading that last night, he said that at this church, God is raising up a Joshua generation, not just outside the walls, not just here, but within this church, Charleston Church, that God is raising up a Joshua generation. It said it like this, and the name of my message is a Joshua rising. I feel like there's a spirit of Joshua rising up. I feel like it's rising up greatly within your Pastor. He's already what a great man of God and done so many things, but I believe a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit is resting upon him. That's what the battle. See, the battle that he's been in is not about where he's at. God, I feel the Holy Ghost. The battle you've been in, Pastor, is not about where you've been. It's not about where you are with your family, but it's about where you're going and what God's about to open up. Even greater things than you. I feel the Holy Spirit. Even greater things than you can imagine, not just for you, Pastor, but for the church. I believe there's some situation God's about to break off of some people. I believe there's a Joshua anointing coming that's going to shut the enemy at the gate. I believe there's a Joshua anointing coming that the enemy's going to stop in his tracks and realize, I used to be able to go there and get him to bow down. I used to be able to go and get him to do this or that, but there's a Joshua rising, and there's a generation rising that's going to declare the word of God, and God help me, and it's going to have a backbone for the things of God. And to understand this, as God's raising up this Joshua generation right here, we have to understand some things about Joshua. His name was changed from Hoshai to Joshua by Moses. His name used to mean saves, and his name Joshua meant Jehovah saves. It meant Jehovah saves. Moses changed his name. He was a protege of Moses, and Moses trained him up. And if you read a lot about Joshua and find out, you get yourself into a place. He would get himself into places of importance by simply keeping his mouth shut. That'll preach. Somebody should shout amen right there. You're afraid to shout amen because what's he talking about? What he would do is, if you'll find out and you're reading the word of God, you'll find out that every time Moses went into the tabernacle, into the tent of meeting, and the Bible said that God spoke to Moses as a friend would speak to a friend, that Joshua was always there. Watch this. Joshua was always there, but he never spoke a word. I want to say that some of us, we need to just stop speaking. It's not our season to have a word. It's our season to have an ear. Hear what I'm saying tonight, somebody, that God's trying to call up Joshua's, but if we try to speak out before it's our time to speak out, I'm preaching to somebody right now that God's not going to be able to get you to where he needs to get you to. And so Joshua was always there. He heard the voice of God. He knew the voice of God. You see, watch this. It didn't matter who was preaching, or if you'd said like that, Joshua was going to be there in the tent. And we've got to understand, if you speak before your time, if you start giving out a word before your time, I don't know why I'm going here right now, but if you start trying to stand up and have a platform before God establishes your goings and establishes you a platform, what happens is where God wants to get you to gets interrupted by our flesh saying, I need to be here. I need to say that. There's a great, great thing to learn by just listening and learning the voice of God. Exodus 33:11, we find out every time, that's my text, where it says that he was in the tent of meeting and standing there. It would say that a cloud of glory would cover God. You couldn't see him, but he heard his voice every single time. Joshua wasn't saying anything. He was just there. He was listening. And it says that as he would stay there, even after Moses would leave, watch this, Joshua would just stay in the tent, in the presence of God. Pastor, he would never go anywhere. He would just stay there in the presence of God and linger. Do you remember the days when we would just linger in the presence of God? Nobody was saying anything. Nobody was singing a song. No one was saying anything. We just stayed in the presence of God. I remember seeing my mom rock back and forth and just say, Jesus, 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 when a Shekinah glory would fill the room where she was at. Brother Andy, she wouldn't go anywhere. Nobody was saying anything. She was just saying Jesus. It was almost as if she was translated out of where she was into another realm. I'm saying that there is a great blessing that comes in lingering in the presence of God and just saying, Lord, I'm staying here. I'm not going anywhere. I just want to be around your presence. Is there anybody that says, I just want to be in the presence of God? Is there anybody in this place tonight that says, I don't want to hear a sermon, I don't want to hear a song, but just get me in the presence of God? I don't care who's preaching, I don't care who's singing, just lay me at the altar and let the glory of a mighty God overwhelm me. Listen to me, self-help is not going to change you. Better programs, is not. It's good to have all that stuff, it's good to have new programs, but I'm going to tell you, I've never seen a program deliver somebody. It might help them do better, but there's a power in the name of Jesus Christ that when you can linger at an altar, not with somebody just preaching the word or praying for you, but when you get in the glory of a mighty God, that the power of God will pull out of you that thing. Somebody shout amen. Joshua served his way into the room. What do you need done? Do you need your car washed or your chariot washed, Moses? Do you need me to carry your Bible or your scrolls, Moses? What can I do? Do you need somebody to help in kids ministry today, Moses? I just got to be in the room. I don't care if I'm a greeter. God, I'm preaching to somebody right now. I don't care if I have to do hospitality or work the coffee shop. I don't care if I get the special part to sing the lead on that. I just have to be in the room. I don't care if I'm the one that's straightening up all the envelopes. I just have to be in the room. I just have to be near you, God. I just want to be in the room where I know you're going to show up. I see you. It's when you want to be there early just because you want to be there while they're practicing worship. You want to be there early. Can I tell you this? One of the greatest breakthroughs I've ever gotten in my life was right in the middle of worship practice at our church. The glory of God began to come down and they were counting stuff off and they were trying to get the click just right and they were singing that song. Oh man, what is that song? It doesn't matter what it was, but they were singing and I'm telling you, the glory of God came down. I walked in the back door before I realized it. I was standing right down front. I had my arms open and I'm telling you, in the middle of worship rehearsal, the Holy Spirit fell down. One of the girls began to give out a message in tongues and another gave an interpretation. I'm not talking about church. I'm talking about worship practice. You see, I feel the Holy Spirit to tell somebody, you've just got to say, God, I don't know. I'm going to get there early. I don't know when my breakthrough's coming. My breakthrough might come during practice. My breakthrough might come during worship. My breakthrough might come during preaching, but I've got to get in the room because I know my breakthrough is coming. Whew, I promise I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. And there was a time, if I told you the minister's name, you would know who he was. But they asked me, we were holding a conference in our city, a P50 conference, and had all kind of ministers. And they said, what do you want to do? You can either set up the hospitality and visit everyone, or you can carry so-and-so's Bible. I said, I want to carry his Bible. You know, it's an honor. It was an honor for me to carry this man's Bible. The Bible was about that thick. Had his name on the front of it, and it was like, I was almost thinking, you know, like I've got the sword, you know, I felt that, and I had his Bible, and he wasn't even there yet. All of the stuff came early, and so I had his briefcase, and they said, don't put his Bible in his briefcase, you don't want it to get messed up, and so I wouldn't dare, and so I was carrying his briefcase, and I'm telling you, I thought, man, I have arrived, I'm carrying so-and-so's Bible, and when I got there, they had security, wouldn't let anybody in the back there, and so when I got there, they said, who are you? I held up that big Bible with his name on the front of it. I said, I'm carrying his Bible before the Lord in heaven. They literally moved out of the way and backed up. And I thought, what kind of access can I get to carrying this man's Bible? And I want you to see that right there. It's a very important thing that you are a word bearer, that you're a carrier of the word, that when you walk in and they say, what are you doing here, John? What are you doing here, Josh? Well, I'm just carrying the word of God. You see, the word of God, I'm not talking about self-help or better philosophies. I'm talking about the word of God that you can walk up to a situation and stand there, and the enemy says, what are you doing here? I don't know, but I'm just carrying the word. I'm just here. I've got a word. It'll give you access. And Joshua knew the voice of God. He knew the words of God. And so there came a time finally when God took Moses up, and then God began to speak to Joshua directly. Joshua wasn't just in the room, but he was the recipient of the words of God. And God would speak to him, and here's the first thing God spoke to him. He said, don't be afraid, Joshua, because as I was with Moses, I will be with you. It's not a powerful thing for God to speak. As I was with your father, I'm going to be with you. As I was with your mother, I'm going to be with you. And so what we have to see and make our prayer tonight, it bothers me that I see generals dying off in the faith. And it bothers me, but Pastor, I begin to see something. As something's happening, God's raising up generals. You see, there's never going to be a missing place of men of God that's rising up, because I believe we have one at Charleston Church, and I'm not trying to pat you on the back. I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart, God is raising you up, that God's about to open doors, and he hates to be called out like this, and I'll pay for it later on, but I've got a word from heaven. I've got the word of God that God's raising you up, and there's not a devil in hell that can stop it, that there's a Joshua rising, that Joshua's doing a work. And listen, the thing about Joshua, he never went by himself. He always took the people that were with him, God's people, and they always moved forward. God, that your spirit would be on us like it was the T.O. Lowry's. God, that your spirit would be on us like it was the A.W. Tozier's. God, that your spirit would be upon us in this house, Lord, like it was the John G. Lake's. Lord, that your spirit would rest upon us like the Ray Hughes and the Gene Rice. God, that your spirit would rest upon us, that we are just word carriers, that we are word bearers, Father, that we will stand up and be what you've called us to be. Holy Spirit. Joshua 5 and 13, it says Joshua was outside the city. In our text, the city was straightly shut up because of the people of God. That's a prophetic word for right now. That the power of the men and women of God have the ability to shut up some things. I believe there's some laws trying to go into pass right here in the state of Maine. I believe that God's people have the ability to call your senators. I know our senator, we've had him at our church, our congressman, and we let him know that, you know what, it's got to be the word of God. We're not here for politics, and I'm not into politics, but what I'm into is the word of God, and we've got a voice. We can close up. I believe this. God's going. Here, and Pastor, I submit myself to you. Can I come out? I'll come right back up. I submit myself completely to you. Get me if you need to. But I want to say this to you. I believe that God is not going to skip the church house to go to the White House. I believe the church has got to get back to where we understand the authority and the power that we have. Joshua stands there, the city shut up. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn. We read that in the text. Here's what Joshua does. Bible says, When he sees the man, he walks right up to him. In the book of 1 John, Wesley, this is what my chapter 3 in verse 12 reads. He walks up and says, "What's up? You with us? Because we can go right now if you're not. We can do this. I just battled the Amalekites and the Perizzites. I just took care of them. So if you're not with us, let's get this done." Because Joshua was a rough dude. You realize that. He was a mighty man. He went up and that angel, or that man rather, looked at him and he says this. See, Joshua didn't see an angel. Let me back that up so you understand. He didn't see an angel. He saw a man and he had this sword. And Joshua says, "Hey, we can do this right now." And he says, "No." He says, "Where you're at, I'm the captain of the Lord's host. And where you are is holy ground. Take off your shoe." Immediately when this man spoke, Joshua bowed down to worship. What was taking place right there, I want you to understand, is Joshua did not realize he was seeing a theophany. He was seeing, in the image of a man, he was seeing Christ given kind of a glimpse before the New Testament got here. Oh, get a hold of this. So how in the world, John, how in the world did Joshua recognize, even though he had never seen God in this form before, how in the world did Joshua recognize that this was God standing there? Because it bothered me, Joshua would not bow down to worship a man or an angel. Think about it. He wouldn't have bowed down. How in the world did he know who this was? Because remember, we just told you a few moments ago, he was in the tent of meeting. And he heard the voice of God. Come on now. That's why it's beneficial. He heard the voice of God. You know, we've got to realize sometimes God is not going to use the vessel you think he ought to use. But can we know the voice of God? Sometimes it's not going to come packaged like we think it should. But can you recognize when God speaks through somebody? Can you recognize with somebody when God speaks through someone who might not be perfect and have everything just right? Have we been listening to the voice of God that we can recognize and bow down and say, "God, I receive your word. I've never seen you like this, God, but I know who you are because I know your voice." The man with the sword says, "I'm not on either side." He says, "Take the shoe off your foot." Joshua recognized who it was, I believe, because of his voice. And when he bowed down, the man said, "Take the shoe off your foot." I was reading that and he said singularly, "Take thy shoe off of thy foot." Not shoes. It wasn't a burning bush moment where take off your shoes. Take off your shoe. Take off your shoe, for where you're standing is holy. I began to research that out, and when I say research, I mean I Googled "take off thy shoe." I mean, right? I mean, I knew who I was looking at, Vinny. I knew the sources. And so I looked it up, and it was singular, "take off thy shoe." And so I Googled that. In the Bible, where does it say take off one shoe? Guess what popped up? Ruth chapter 4. Ruth chapter 4, when Boaz was the kinsman redeemer. When Boaz says, he goes to the city gate and he takes off his shoe. He's holding up in the city gate. And he didn't have to say a word because they understood when he's holding one shoe up in the gate of a city. He was saying, "I'm here to redeem the land. I'm here to redeem what belongs." No, you missed it. "I'm here to redeem what belongs to me." And so then I read back over again into Joshua, and I realized he was standing right at the gate of Jericho. And I realized the angel's trying to give him the indication, "Joshua, you're in the gate right now. I'm trying to give you a city." You see, sometimes we just have to take God at his word. I might not understand why God tells me take off one shoe. I might not understand why God has me to do certain things. But if we could just learn to listen and obey the word of God, if we'll just learn to let God be God, I believe that God would give us the things that we have no idea that he desires to give us. So Joshua's standing there. He's at Jericho holding up one shoe. And the Lord spoke to me 3:45 this morning, 3:50, whatever time it was. I don't know. I was on Moxie. Squirrel. And so the Lord speaks to me. He says, look which shoe it was that he took off. So I researched again, Google. Was it the right shoe or the left shoe? It wasn't in there. I said, Lord, I know, I heard in my heart you said to look what shoe he's taken off. Then it hit me. Joshua was just coming out of the wilderness. The shoe he was holding up was a supernatural shoe. You don't believe me yet, do you? The shoe he's holding up was a shoe of miracle. It was a shoe that was 40 years old but grew with his foot. Remember, the Bible said that their clothes did not wear out, nor did their shoes. So when God said, go look at what shoe it wasn't the left or right. He was holding a miraculous. How many times have we not recognized that God's trying to give you a miracle moment? You think what you have is ordinary. God is saying, no, it's not ordinary. It's a miraculous moment. You've got to realize that when God speaks, it's always with great significance. Just because you've held that microphone before, just because you've sang the song before, just because you've spoken on that topic before, don't let it become ordinary. Which shoe? I thought, Lord, that's pretty good stuff. I can't even take credit for it. 40 years it never wore out. Musicians, if you'll come back, how about that? I'm not done. I just like to hear them play. I've got about 17 more minutes. If I drink this water, I've got about 23 more minutes. 26. Pastor, can I take my shoe off? Lord, please don't let me have a hole in my sock. My wife will kill me. By the way, I have a wife and four beautiful children. Well, I have two beautiful children. Two aren't so good looking. I can't lie. I'm under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Well, you know, somebody just said, oh, my God. Well, two are boys and two are girls. The boy, I promise you, they're not good looking. One of the boys got a head this big. Like, what in the world? He's a great thinker. So here we have Joshua standing in the gate, holding up a 40-year-old shoe that never wore down. He's holding up that shoe, and we learn by Ruth chapter 4 that Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, was redeeming what was rightfully his. And here's what the Lord sent me to tell you, Charleston Church. That there's a Joshua rising, and that you are at a place. God spoke to me the other night, and I whispered in his ear at a really bad time, but I couldn't hold it anymore. He was going up to exhort, or whatever that's called at the end of worship, would be called preaching, yelling, whatever. And as he's walking away, I grabbed him by the arm, and I said, the Lord spoke to me. Can I say this, Pastor? I said, the Lord spoke to me. You're about to take land. You're about to take land. I don't say stuff God told me if God did not tell me. I'm telling you, I don't have the reputation enough to get fractured from saying it was God and it was not. And I saw in my spirit as strongly as I've ever seen anything. Pastor, I saw you holding a shoe. It was messing with me because I don't typically see like visions, and it wasn't like an outer body, like, you know, I was in a trance, but in my spirit I saw. I said, God, what in the world? And God said, tell the church to prepare, to get ready, that I'm about to do things and enlarge their coast. They're about to, listen, I have no idea what's exactly, but listen, get ready because God's about to blow your mind. God, he said, you tell them I'm going before them. And I've prepared it. I've already made every plan, every preparation that needs to be made. Joshua was standing there holding up that shoe. And he also told me to tell you, don't worry anymore about the teaspoon at a time. He said he's already got that attended to. He don't always come when we want him to. He's always right on time. So Joshua was standing there with the shoe. taking territory. And here's what I want to tell you tonight, Charleston Church. I want to tell you that there's some of you that you've lost some things. That the enemy has robbed. Some it's your joy. Some it's even the love for serving God. You used to just get so excited about coming to the house of God. Some of you, it's your business. God's promised you some things. I'm telling you, God moves by faith. God moves when you look foolish, and if it's not God, you know what I'm talking about? I told the students, I believe, the other night about me being in the doctor's office with my shoe, right? Because God gave me this revelation a few months ago. My 9-year-old daughter was having problems. She ran one time a fever of 107. That'll rock your world. She's one of my pretty kids, by the way. Not that big a head. Pretty big, but not that big. Cranial circumference. She lost 18% of her body weight in 10 days. I was seeing God perform miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, but it seemed like he was skipping my house. I knew that healing was rightfully ours. I knew it. But I declared the word. I laid hands. I had anointed her with oil so much she was ready for the deep fryer. It's the truth. I anointed my home. My wife said, babe, I don't mind you anointing the doors, but do you have to use so much? But the problem is we have one door that's like 10 feet, so I have to get oil on my finger and get a running start like this and just run by and slap it like that. So if it gets, it comes down. So I had anointed everything. Everything. God wasn't doing what I thought he should do. I dedicated two twins on a Sunday morning. In the season of all this, I dedicate two twins. I'm holding them, and I mean, they're wild. I mean, they're doing it. They're flicking my ears like this, you know. I think one tried to bite me, out of the corner of my eye because his dad grabbed him. Anointed, I dedicated these two twins. I get a phone call at 7:18 on a Sunday night, headed home from church. And it was that father of the twins. I said, hey, Steve, what's going on? He said, John, both of the twins just drowned. They've been dead for 8 minutes. I pulled my vehicle off the interstate. Rocked my world. Rocked my world. He said to me, you dedicated them this morning. He'd only been coming to church for a few months. Maybe, I don't even think a month. Maybe a little over a month. He said, you told me when we dedicated them that God was responsible from now on for their provision and their protection. Didn't you say that? Very sheepishly, I said, I did. He said, well, then I'll call you back with a good report. His kids were dead for 8 minutes. No air. No oxygen. After a couple minutes, they're brain dead. I was going to hang the phone up. I was in shock. He wasn't sounding all that bad. He said, shouldn't we pray now? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Thank you. 1 month saved person. 17-year pastor. Yes, remind me to pray. And so I prayed with as much faith as I could muster. But when he hung up the phone with me, I said, God, if these boys do not live, I'll never dedicate another child, because it rocked me. Don't judge me. God knows me. He said, I'll call you back with a good report. I'm thinking, you are delusional, Steve. I didn't say it, but I'm thinking your kids are dead. In a few minutes, I get a phone call. He said, in the helicopter on the way to Shreveport, the first twin wakes up and's crying for his mother. It shook the EMS guy riding in the helicopter so bad that he fell back because it scared him. I mean, a dead kid wakes up. Mom, that'll scare you. got a phone, the mom called, the other twin, they're both living, they're wild, they're perfectly intelligent as I guess anybody else in their family. No. That came out wrong. Came out completely wrong. You know what I mean. You're picking up what I'm putting down. Stop. So in the middle of this, I go to the doctor and he says, your daughter has a heart valve problem. Blood stain in the ventricle that's not getting out. What's happening basically is there's getting infection in her heart. And she has an infection in her heart. That's what's causing her temperature to sky, to just go to 107 and nothing brings it down. I said, okay, we'll fix it. He said, well, yeah. He said, it'll be open heart surgery. I said, that's not God. To make a long story longer, skipped all that. We've gone from maybe a moderate to a very severe, have to have open heart surgery. Let's go in for one more scan. Let's go in and let the doctors look and take everything, a picture of everything. And the nurse is sitting there, and I'm telling you, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, you can preach it, but can you look foolish when they will have no idea what you're doing? Because I just got through telling the Lord, healing is ours. It's rightfully ours. So right there in the doctor's office, I take my shoe off. I'm holding it up in the air, just sitting there normal, like, hey, just holding my shoe, nothing to see here. The lady looks at me like, It's a good thing she's pretty, because it's pretty anyway. So my wife says, it's okay, he's a preacher. Like, you know, don't worry about it, he's a preacher, they do dumb stuff all the time. I'm holding my shoe up. This is the last test. This is the last moment before open heart surgery. As a lady's test, and she keeps looking back at me, looking back. I thought, well, she really thinks I'm crazy. My wife takes a picture, sends it to some friends. He's holding his shoe up in the doctor's office. I get like 10 messages back to me. I got my staff members in the, they got their shoes up. Aren't you glad that you have people that'll stand with you? So then she looks back and she says, well, we've got changes. I said, but you said that doesn't change by itself. It has to be surgery. She said, I can't explain it, but we have changes. My shoe went up a little higher. I'm holding that shoe for Randy, and I'm telling you, I am claiming what is rightfully ours. My daughter had all-star gymnastic tryouts last night. You missed it. They said she'll never be able to have the activities as a normal child because of this condition. Listen, she does whatever it's called, runs forward, turns sideways, and flips backwards twice. Whatever those are called, she does it. And most of the time, she don't land on her head. And I'm like, come on now. Last night, they cast her to trial for All-Stars. A girl that was supposed to have open heart surgery. But God, when you decide that I'm taking back what has been stolen, I'm not letting the enemy take it. You come on, you may look foolish, but who's looking foolish now? I've got a healed baby girl. Stand your feet all over this place, please. Jesus. It's a Joshua rising. That's the first word I was supposed to bring, a Joshua rising. I cannot wait until next year. I can't even wait till next week. I'm telling you, I feel God's about to do something crazy. I'm telling you, it's going to be like, what? Moment. Get ready. Get who? Can I tell one more about the healings? We've had unprecedented healings at our church, and it's nothing about me. Good Lord knows. I ask the Lord all the time, why do you use me? You know, I have no idea why he would use me to do this stuff. We've had so many miracles that we've got a book that we're filling up called A Book of Miracles that sits on the altar. When someone's sick, they can go and turn the pages of what God's done just since January. I'm not talking about like I had a headache, it was dull, but it was gone. No, I'm talking about cancer's gone. Heart condition's gone. I'm talking about a replacement knee that had a broken kneecap, and God fixed the replacement knee. It's true. Can't make this stuff up. And I've got documented proof for all this. Prayed for a young girl. She's had cancer in her brain twice. They've removed it, had to do treatment, came back a third time. Her mother stood in for her. We prayed for her mother. Her mother went home and told her. She said, Kaylee, write your testimony down. She said, why? She said, because I've never felt the tangible presence of God, and I felt it when Pastor John prayed for me. Kaylee wrote her testimony down, going for the last scan to get measured to know exactly where to do brain surgery at. She wrote her testimony down and said, my scans are completely clear. Not just no cancer, they're clear. Fast forward another week, her dad calls me, hysterical. I thought Kaylee had died, literally. I finally calmed him down enough for him to tell me, John, we just got our results back. Kaylee, she not only does not have cancer, she has zero tumors in her brain. We have one scan where they're there and one that they're gone. Come on. In my office, I take off my shoe. And I'm going to say to some of you tonight, you manas, you moxie drinkers, some of you need to take your shoe off. Maybe it's not your personality to do it physically, and maybe that's why you need to do it. This is not a word for everybody, but it's a word for somebody. Some of you, the enemy has robbed from you. You've done everything you know to do. You've done everything that doesn't look too weird. Maybe it's time that we say, I don't care what people think about me. I don't care how you feel. I've got babies that are lost. I had a son that was backslidden. His mom prayed every time that he would try to do something dumb and drink specifically, that he would get deathly ill. I lie not. Every time the boy would try to drink something, he'd break out in huge hives and have to go to the emergency room. Every time. Thank God. And she would text him, every time you try to drink, and he would say, it's just this, it's just that. And she'd say, okay, good, you're going to die because of it. Mom, don't say that. Radical stuff. Radical stuff. Some of you, you have lost children. I would rather look foolish holding a shoe. You've done everything you know to do. Maybe you're not bold enough to try it in the sanctuary. Maybe it's when you get home and close the closet door. Or maybe God's calling. Well, he's not calling you out of the closet. Let me say that in a different way. In the bedroom. I'm saying, I know God spoke this word to me tonight. That there's going to be the restoration of things. There's going to be the restoration of marriages. You're still in the same house, but you are not together. It's a word. You're still living together, but you are not married. You're married, but you're not married. God's going to restore some things tonight. Jesus, if you're in this place and you know you have something that you've been praying for, believing God for, that God's going to move and God's going to do for you, but you haven't seen him do it yet, but you know that there's a Joshua rising, that there's a Joshua spirit rising on the inside of you, I want you to get out from your chair and I want you to come down to this altar. Come down front. Come on, move. If you're needing something specifically from God, this is not a generalization, something specific, something you can put your hand on. Here's what I believe. I believe this. I began praying a prayer at our church. I don't want you to come in and be healer. I don't want you to come in and be deliverer. My prayer began to be like this. God, I want you to come into this place and just be God. If you want to be a healer, if you want to be deliverer, whatever you want to be,
make sure it's up.
You be that. So here's what I'm believing. I'm believing that miracles are about to take place right up here. I believe God's going to do it. I believe God's going to move so strong. I believe God's going to move, and it's not going to be I think he did. You're going to know without a doubt. When the worship team gets going, if you feel in your heart, I'm not telling anybody to take off your shoe if you don't want to, but if you say, this bear witness with me, for the sky, God's arresting that tumor. Fear has hit you, and you feel like that it's going to spread, and you're a brave man. You're not a fearful man, but the enemy has it's not a natural, it's a spirit of fear, and the enemy's trying to say, well, when they get in there, it's going to be bad. No, God said he's arresting that tumor. When I come back next year, you're going to be smiling at me, and you're going to say, bald-headed preacher, you were right. I'm telling you by the unction of the Holy Spirit. You say, how can you step out on a limb like that? I didn't. God did. I can't do anything, but God can do everything. So if you need God to do something tonight, what I want you to do, if you've got a shoe off in one and with the other hand, I want you to worship God as they go into this. And I'm going to come through and I'm just going to touch as a point of contact. And I'm going to say, I agree, I agree, I agree. If you need salvation, stop me or grab a prayer worker and let God do it for you. Are you ready? Get start believing God for it. You're standing there taking back what the enemy has taken. Taking back your redemption. Taking back the joy. Taking back your baby. Taking back your health. Taking back household salvation.